Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are online at 10 a.m. on our YouTube channel. You can learn more about us by visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
How are we doing, Well family? Glad that you are here. We are excited to not only join you in your homes online, whether you're watching on your TV, your phone, your iPad, or you're here in person. Today we got to welcome part of our church council back today. We got to welcome our staff back today, so we are so excited and thankful for them and their leadership during this time. I can't tell you how many just the prayers that have gone into this whole process to not only handle this season, but to catch its wave. And I love the progressive and the faith-filled thinking of our staff and our church council to go, hey, we're not going to just invest just enough to get us by. We're going to invest to get us into the future because we know that God is moving us into a new season, and we are excited for that. If this is your first time here, hi. Glad you're here. I know everyone in this room, but if you're watching for the first time today online, I am so glad you're here. You are in for a roller coaster ride. What a powerful time of worship together. But if this is your first time again, click the link for the welcome card. Say hi to us in the comments. Send us an email, connect@gotothewell.church. We want to get to know you. Those are awesome opportunities to do that. And like you've heard before, comment, share during the message. This is a phenomenal time to do that because we want to hear what God is speaking to you. So make sure that you're also writing in some sort of journal, writing in your notes section on your phone, because this is the thing. I believe that this time that we spend on a Sunday morning is an investment. And when we invest our time and say, God, I'm here to listen to you, not only may you hear something during the message or during worship, but God may speak something completely different, completely left field, and you need to write it down. Because if you're anything like me, unless I write down, it does not exist. If it's not in my calendar, it's not going to happen. And so I highly, highly, highly encourage you to write that down while we jump into his word. Go ahead and get your Bible out. Get your note-taking devices out. Let's lift up the word and ask God to speak to us now. Lord, we thank you for all that you are. God, we thank you that you are speaking to your people, that you are not quiet. But Lord, your word says that you're shouting in the streets. Lord, we want to listen. We want to hear. We want to respond. We want to be transformed by your word. So, Lord, would you speak to us during this time? In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, today we are starting a brand new series. It is called Psalms, talking about what happens when life moves us. And we've all experienced that in these past few months. But even outside of COVID, every day we experience, every year, every it feels like new season of life, we experience something that happens in our life, and it seems to rock us. It seems to shake our foundation. We have to grab a hold of something, and we go, what just happened? It could be a tragedy. It could be a medical diagnosis. It could be just you name it, your child learning how to drive, whatever it may be, where suddenly what you thought was secure is no longer secure. Life happens. I could say another phrase, but we would get dinged on YouTube here and my job. But anyway, is the stuff sort of happens. And if you are a person of faith, or maybe you're not a person of faith, you realize that it doesn't take much to rock your belief system. And you find yourself angry, you find yourself upset, you find yourself scared. And you go, how am I, and depending on what your the way you were raised, the way that you understand church, and the way you understand God, is you're going to feel like, I can't tell God my emotions, because growing up, whenever you expressed emotion, you were told to sit down, shut up, or go to your room. Or maybe you were told, growing up as a guy, you weren't allowed to cry. You weren't allowed to feel sad. So you try to toughen up and be macho everywhere, and then you try to get to God, and you're just like, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. Or maybe you've allowed your emotions to control every aspect of your life, and whatever you feel becomes your reality. And so then what happens is your reality doesn't exist anymore. So when we go into the book of Psalms, we're going to discover people like you and me who life happened to, and we don't know what to do. We don't know how to respond, because all we know is the circumstances and what's going on around us, they stink. And you could do anything in your power to get out of it, you would. And sometimes we wonder, well, if I'm afraid, then maybe I don't trust God. Maybe if I'm going through a season of doubt, that means I'm not saved anymore. Or if I tell God that I hate him right now, that's blasphemy, and I lose my salvation, or I lose my God points, or whatever way you calculate that. And so what you do is you just keep it in, you keep it in, and you start, what happens when you start cutting off relationship, you start cutting off your emotion, you start cutting off your intellect, is you distance yourself in relationship. And so it's no longer about communication. It's just, I'm going to do everything I can to stay away from God. And so some of you have done that. Maybe you've drank in too much so you don't hear God's voice. Maybe you've gotten too much involved in relationships you shouldn't be involved in. Or you said, I am never stepping foot in church, and you convince yourself that the building's going to burn down. Not going to happen. You should see the fireworks here in Artesia. This building was going to burn down. It would have already burned down, I'm telling you. This thing was a war zone yesterday. And I still think it's Ophie and Anna. I'm just saying. I don't know. I have to look at the camera footage again. Last year, I saw her running with a, like a Roman candle or something. I'm just kidding. That wasn't... It was a legal firework that I saw her have. But I want you to go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms. It's literally the easiest book in the entire Bible to find, because you just open up in the middle and you should be there. Hold on, I see Jeremiah. Where are you at? There you go, right there. About the middle of the Bible is Psalms, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 42 today. But as you turn there, I want to give you a couple kind of a background. Because when you face these situations, you and I, we respond like many of the authors in this book respond as well. Whether it's out of doubt and frustration or it's out of jubilation and joy, these authors write. And what I love about the Bible, it's not just like a narrative. It's not just like a work manual and you're trying to read through it. And you know, it's like those things you get when you order electronics and it tells you all the ways to work. You don't read them. You throw them away or you put them in the box and throw it in the garage. Like, you don't actually read them. The Bible's not like that. There's narrative, there's story, there's biography, there's genealogy, there's poems, there's songs. And the Psalms is that. These are songs, these are poems, these are sonnets. These are emotional expressions of feeling towards life around them and how God factors into their life. These are responses. And to be perfectly honest, I struggle reading the Psalms sometimes. I struggle understanding what they mean and what the purpose is. I am not a musician or a singer in any way, shape, or form. There is a standing rule slash tradition slash mandate slash commandment in this church. I am never to sing with a microphone on. It's in my job description. Do not sing. I'll leave that there. I struggle with Psalms because they don't make sense to me. These are written by like creative minds. Like, you know how there's those people who are very analytical and there are those people who are just creative and just like can go anywhere and everywhere and they're just free and they can just create and just, they just, you know, it's just, they have this headspace and it's just, it's crazy. I love them, but I don't get them at times. I'm a 1-2-3 person. Psalms a lot of time are 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-1-2-1-2, back to the bridge, 3-4, 1-2-3-4. And I'm just going, oh my gosh. Just get to the point. Do we really have to be this expressive? Do we really have to use these kind of words to describe what we're feeling and thinking? And I talk to my creative friends and family, like my wife, and she says, yes, I need to explain every detail and feeling to truly express how I'm feeling. I'm just like, oh. But we only grow when we become uncomfortable. So it's important that we take the time to learn how someone else thinks, because what you're going to realize is you start to feel what that begins to feel, and you can even begin to practice empathy. That's what happens when you look at a piece of art and it moves you. It hits something inside of you. We are created as people who are creating the image and the likeness of God to have both emotional and intellectual thoughts and feelings and expressions. And artistic expressions allows many of us to communicate our emotional, intellectual thoughts. See, what happens when we combine those together, when we marry those together, that's where wisdom comes from. See, the Psalms are a small window into people's lives as they wrestle with the reality of life and the reality of God's existence in that life. If God is so loving, why would he allow this to happen? If God is people are so crazy, God, why do you still allow them to be around? So today we're going to look at Psalm 42. It's right there in the middle of your Bible. It's written by the sons of Korah. These are a set of worship leaders. Not all the Psalms are written by David. There are several different authors to the Psalms, some that we know, some that we do not. But we're going to get into this. And some of the this Psalm specifically really speaks to my heart. And I've even included a link here that Shane's going to put on there. It's a YouTube link to this Psalm being sung to music, and it actually sounds really cool. It sounds like some weird song. It sounds super cool, and this is part of what I've been studying, because a lot of times when I study for Sundays, I go through it, I do all the kind of the structure and all these different things, but for this one, I really wanted the psalm to just resonate in my heart first. And so I listened to it. Even last night on my little Echo show next to my bed, I was listening to it, and I'm pretty sure my wife was getting annoyed because it was on a repeat, and I didn't want to use my headphones. So, but I want to look at Psalm 42, and we're going to start this off. It says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? This is the introduction. This is kind of setting the stage before he gets into the body of the psalm. He's letting us know where he's at. And I don't know about you, but my soul has panted for water. If you've ever felt empty, you felt like everything that you have inside of you is gone, and you just need relief. It feels like your soul's empty. And always, whenever I read the psalm, or as I grew up in a more traditional church, and this was the song, we sang this song during youth worship 20 years ago. It's called As a Deer. But for whatever reason, I always think of Bambi's mom. I don't know why. Like the first half of the movie, Bambi's mom, you know what I mean? Then it just goes real dark real fast. But just that, like that, this there's a gentleness, there's a longing to just receive water. So the psalmist is about to make their case. He compares himself to an animal who's thirsty, who's panting, who's tired, who just needs water. Because that's how their soul is feeling for God. But what's interesting about this, when we actually see it there in verse 2, is my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? God isn't the one who's distant in this conversation. And the psalmist is very self-aware of that. He or she is the one who's hesitant to approach God. He goes, I know my soul's thirsty. And I know who to go to. But I just don't know when. I just don't know how. And a lot of us, when we're in that place where our soul's empty, our spirit is not connecting with God's spirit, we just feel aloof, we feel separated, we feel far apart. We just, is that awkwardness like, do I go first? And I mentioned this last week, God has already taken that step forward. So what I love, the psalmist doesn't stop here. This isn't the end of the psalm. This isn't a short little two-verse psalm. It continues. But as we continue, we need to be, since this is the introduction, I need to ask you this question. Are you thirsty? Is your soul panting for the living God? Are you tired? Are you dehydrated? See, our bodies are made up of 70% of water. And when we are dehydrated, our body is literally screaming, I need more of what I'm made of. And so when our soul is crying out, when our soul is dehydrated, and that emptiness and that frustration and that anxiety, and it's almost that burning in your arms, your body's saying, I need the very thing that created me. I need the very thing that is needed within me. The only thing that's going to quench that thirst, it's not going to be Gatorade, it's not going to be iced tea, it's not going to be lemonade, it's going to be God who speaks. It's not going to be your addiction, it's not going to be your habit, it's not going to be your some other person, it's going to be the living God. So are you hesitating to approach God? Are you hesitating? Is it scary? Because you know what we are more afraid of than dying of thirst? We're more afraid of that we're going to have change. How many times do we get a prognosis? Well, if you eat better, you'll be healthier. Ah. That's a good one, Doc. No. I'm going to eat my Big Mac. And I expect the six-pack to come along with it. All right, doctor? Verse 3. This is what begins to happen. What we are literally seeing is this author is beginning to approach God. He's realizing nothing else is going to quench his thirst. So listen to what he says. My tears have been my food day and night. When they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. So number one, write this down. Celebrate people in every season because you never know what people are going through. As this person is saying, I'm crying out all day, all night. My tears are my food. Everyone around me saying, where's your God? Thanks, friends. Appreciate the support. See, what we like to do is when someone is down, we like to tell them all the reasons why they're wrong and why they shouldn't be down, instead of giving them a hand and beginning to lift them up. You know what's interesting about this story is we just find out that this guy knows who, or this girl knows who God is. Sons of Korah. This guy knows who God is. In fact, he doesn't just know who God is. He doesn't just show up to festival. He is leading it. This man is a worship leader. He's up there with like Jessica and Aaron and Paul who are singing the praises of God. God, you are faithful. You are faithful. But every person who's in professional faith leading, so a leader in a church, whether on a church council, a church staff, or a church, you know, or spiritually known, or maybe just in your home where you are the spiritual leader, every one of us knows there are seasons where you can sing, God, you are faithful to the masses, but feel like he's far in your heart. Just because you have a title does not mean that you are no longer going to struggle with your relationship with God. He knows these things. And if coming from, I have walked through seasons of where I can preach God's word, I can communicate his word clearly and effectively, but I get home and going, God, were you even there? It doesn't matter. And it was the people that God surrounded around me that said, I love you. I'm here for you. I support you. What do you need? How can I lift you up? How can I strengthen you in your weakness? When I had people around me like that, the season, it was necessary but did not have to be long. See, there will always be outsiders who are feeding into the feeling of isolation from God. Not only does God feel like he's far away, but everyone else is making it feel worse. And that's why who you allow around you in times of trial will greatly influence the way you outlook. As leaders in your homes, in your workplaces, in your churches, in your ministries, in your small group, it is important that you say, hey guys, I'm hurting. Hey guys, I'm struggling. I'm in doubt. And honestly, when you have those people go, well, it's because God doesn't exist, or oh, because you did this and this, and they start tearing you down, there is a place where you have to accept truth, because there's truth usually in every statement. You can accept that, but you need to protect yourself from that. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to love and then give truth. Don't ever surround yourself with people who are just going to say, oh, everything's great, just feel what you want and do what you want, and it's all about you. No, that's not, that's ill advice there. But with someone whose faith is so public, and I know some of you, that's your fear. If I start telling people about Jesus, they're going to know that I'm a Christian, and they're going to keep me to a higher standard, and then when I mess up, they're going to point me out. It doesn't matter. See, as you become public with your faith, as you begin public with who Jesus is, you get to choose who you're going to surround yourself with, and you get to choose, get this, I love this, you don't have to listen to everybody. I want to say that again. You do not have to listen to everybody. You can take what is good and throw away what's bad. Take what is good and throw away what is bad. For the most part, you know, if there's public criticism, things like that, I take it because I want to learn. But it's going to be the small group of people around me that speak truth and love into my life that I'm really going to begin to listen to. So he's struggling. I used to be in public. I used to declare these things faithfully. Now people are thrown, where is your God? In verse 5, he begins to reflect. Now he was kind of external. Now he's more internal. He says, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you in turmoil around me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. And other translations say, I am depressed. Therefore, I remember you, the land of Jordan and of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Number 2, write this down. Right answers do not substitute for processed emotions. This is what we Christians love to do. Oh, sweetheart, just pray about it. God is good. Well, maybe you just didn't have enough faith. So just have more faith. Here, God, you know God is good. You don't have to worry about it. Honey, don't doubt. Man up, dude. God's good. You don't have to cry about it. These are terrible things. Anyone have heard any of those things spoken? Yep, 2 hands. What we like to do is we just, like, we want to give the quick answer so we don't have to feel the feeling. Be blessed. Be blessed. Seems like everyone else is blessed. Just because you know the right answer does not mean that you shouldn't process the emotions associated with what you're experiencing. Is God good? Yes. Does it feel that God is good? No. What does that mean? What does that mean? This is where we must be willing to ask the questions. This is what is really important, and I think a lot of people, especially if you grew up in the church, you need to hear this. When you are going through tragedy, when you're going through this kind of processing time, it is so important that as you go, or you're helping someone through it, it is not about your Bible knowledge. It's not just to know, great, you memorized 20 verses in John 2, 4, 6, 8. This is where, when you have read your Bible, where it's important to not only that it's affected your mind, but you've allowed him to reflect on your heart. It's not about the Holy Spirit teaching you things. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to be present with you. This is a time where the depths of your spirit must connect with the depths of the Spirit of God. To be consumed by God in your grief and your hurt. See, God is never afraid of your emotions. God is never afraid of your tears. God is never afraid of your anger and your frustration. You are not forsaking the Holy Spirit by calling out to God and even to the place where you say, God, I don't even think you exist. You're not scaring him. You're not making God go, oh no, they don't exist in me. They don't believe in me. No, he goes, I know how you feel. Tell me more. When my kids come to me crying, hurt, I don't say, get away from me, you have offended your fathereth. No, I embrace them. I love them. I show care. I love what it says, that deep calls to deep. The depths of your heart is calling to the depths of his heart, and the roar of his waterfalls, the roar of the breakers of your waves. If you've ever been surfing, you know when a break crashes over you, it puts water and sand in places you never knew existed on your body. Week later, you're like, oh, where'd that come from? That is how deep and how grace can cover us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, so much to the point that it will roll you. It will almost drown you. It will cover you and put on your places in your heart that you never knew existed, because deep calls to deep, and his goodness is always going to overwhelm you. But it's only when we allow ourselves to approach him. Allow your deep to call to his deep. Do not try to get away with the Bible answer. Don't just say Jesus and expect everything to go away. Would you just rest? Knowing that you don't have to put on your makeup, you don't have to put on the perfect clothes, you don't have to put on the perfect face to approach God. You don't have to clean up your life. You don't have to clean up your emotions or your intellect with all your doubt, with all your frustration to be able to come to God. Because every time, he'll cover you. Verse 8, by day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me. I love that, because the juxtaposition of that verse is night and day, my tears have become my food. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and by night, his song is over me, a prayer to God in my life. And this is a prayer that he says, that I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy. You're going, wait, this isn't your normal Sunday morning. This isn't your Sunday school prayer, is it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and make sure I say all the right things. Some of you are like, I can't pray in public because I'm afraid. I don't pray because I don't want to offend God. You can't offend God. You're too busy being offended anyway. But to say, God, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning? Why haven't you taken, where is that peace you promised? Don't you see the oppression of my enemy? Don't you see that I'm being attacked here? God does not want your religious dogma. He wants your heart. Why? Because God is the rock. He can handle it. I love it how the psalmist goes, hey, God, you're my rock. I'm about to come smashing because I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. So number three, write this. Actually, let's keep going in verse 10. As with my deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? He's doing a summary, and this is the climax. This is the purpose. This is the main reason for this. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My salvation and my God. For I shall praise him again. It's not going to be now. And it's not quite yet. But it will happen. You may be in season, you may not be able to worship God. You may not feel like you'll praise him. But are you willing to say, hey, I'm struggling and I'm not there yet, but I will be there again. So number three, write this down. Hope shines its brightest in the darkest moments. Hope shines its brightest in those darkest moments. We will always have haters. We will always wrestle within ourselves, but there is always hope. So whatever place you are in right now as you are watching, whether this is your first time at the well, if this is your millionth time, and you're just going through something, maybe you in this room, can I always remind you, do not lose hope. Hope. Do not lose hope. To hope does not mean to forget or to gloss over the issue and just say we're blessed. I'm just going to trust God. God's got this. No. Hope means that you're willing to not get lost in the darkness. You're willing to look into the light. And even though you don't understand it, you may not be at a point where you trust it right now because of the things going on in your life, but you're still saying, I still recognize it as hope. I'm not going to turn from it. I'm going to process through this. But I'm not going to let go of hope. The whole purpose why the psalmist is writing this, and I'm going to invite Jessica up, not to give you a theology on suffering, not to do anything other than to let others know if you are going through this process, would you hope in God? I shall too praise him again, my salvation and my God. Just because life is terrible right now, just because you are going through something right now, does not mean that he is no longer your God. So when people ask, where is your God? Your response, I will praise him again, but I'm processing through stuff. He is my God, and he is my salvation. And maybe today, you've never allowed your deep, your spirit to connect to his spirit, his deep. You've never given your life to Jesus. I want to invite you today to discover Jesus, because it is Jesus who is our hope. It is Jesus who's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the one that rescued us out of our depravity. So if you have never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity today. So whether you're at home, you're watching your car, wherever you may be, would you put your hand on your heart? And would you pray this with me? Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace for the first time today. I am far from you and want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I can have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life. Teach me to display your love to those around me. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate for those giving their life for the first time today? Now today, as we encounter Jesus, we're going to be partaking of communion. So you can even pause this right now if you didn't get your bread or juice, whatever it may be. Here in Artesia, we're doing goldfish and fruit boxes. Because like I said in my Instagram post, I cannot stand those little pre-packaged cardboard hot grape juice things. I know you shouldn't be picky with communion, but whatever you have is good. But we're reminded that Jesus, his body and his body was broken for you and I. His blood was poured out for you and I. And when he breaks the bread, that represents the breaking of the old covenant, the old things that were once was, and he's doing something new. So as we partake of the bread or the cracker or the whatever you have at home, you take it and be reminded that God is breaking the past. He's breaking the old self, and he's about to do something new. Would you take that together? And as we take the juice, we're reminded that we're under a new covenant of grace, a new covenant of forgiveness, a new covenant where our deep can call to his deep and he overflows upon us as his grace. So as we partake of the juice, we're reminded that we are part of a new life, that he's making all things new, including you, including me. Let's take the juice together. I want you to just take this moment to just reflect on who God is, the season that you're in. God is not afraid of your brokenness. God is not afraid of your messiness. He wants you to draw near. As we continue this series throughout the month of July, you're going to be hearing from myself, you're going to be hearing from two of our worship leaders. We're going to be going through different psalms. And next week, we're talking about a psalm and what it means to worship. What does it mean to come before the Lord? And I encourage you this summer, take this opportunity, take this stay at homes, take whatever circumstances around you and invest it. Because God wants to grow and move in your life. Well, go ahead and if you are at home, grab the person's hand next to you. If you're here in the sanctuary and you live with the person, you can grab their hand. If you're single in here, you just look over. Go, what's up, girl? What's up, dude? No, don't do that. That's creepy. But grab their hand. Actually, we're going to pray. God, right now, I thank you that you're present. God, that we don't scare you away. You're not a first date that leaves at the moment of trouble. God, but you're committed. Even when we yell and we scream and we doubt and we are frustrated and we're angry, Lord, you stay. You stay. Now, would you be upon anyone in this room, anyone watching online right now, Lord, who is suffering, who's maybe walking through anxiety or walking through depression or walking through tragedy or walking, whatever it may be, Lord, would you be present? Lord, would you make that hope shine even brighter in their darkness? God, would you help them to not search after quick and easy ways to get over it, but Lord, help them and lead them in such a way that their deep calls to your deep. God, that they can really wrestle with you and leave transformed, changed, refined, and more equipped to be and to share your love. God, we thank you for all that you are. We thank you for every person in this room. Lord, we thank you for every person watching right now. God, we pray for our community. We pray for our city. Lord, we pray for healing in our families. We thank you that you're present in every situation. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus, we all said, amen, amen. Well, we are so glad that you are able to join us here in Artesia and online. Make sure to stick around for all of our Kids Life exciting videos and lessons that they're going to be doing. You are loved and we cannot wait to spend more time with you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.